Yeah. Well, we're in LA, and you know what? Frankly, I think you know, everything is industry. This couch is. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
these
yeah,
microphones.
Couch is named Timothy Chalamet, which is
see, I could feel it.
Pretty industry.
It's a royal couch.
Well, his name's Timothy.
Yeah, his
Chalamet.
Name is
of
Timothy.
It is.
Timothy.
Oh, I didn't. I missed that part where you guys were talking. I was like,
yeah,
I didn't know the couch
name,
was named Timothy.
No, Christine
Chalamet.
Threw a party for the couch. It's like literally the first thing
cool.
everyone comments on when they come in.
So did the couch come with the name, or did you name it?
She named it. Yeah, yeah.
She named it. Okay.
Yeah, she took him from the other apartment she lived in before. So
yeah.
Yeah. What a gift.
Welcome to Pod as a Woman.
Thank you.
What
so much.
A segue.
Honored to be here.
Yes.
Love it. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
And who do we have today?
We're joined today by the Crazy in Bed co-hosts, Alyssa Limperis and Mae Wilkerson. Hello,
yes.
Hello.
Welcome.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
Who's dragging their... Oh, that's the pup.
That's...
Yes.
I was like, what am I hearing?
Noise.
I thought it was a... It sounded like... In a horror movie, like someone was dragging an axe. It, like,
oh,
do you know what I mean?
You like that's, a horror head, so
yeah, I'm a big horror movie fan.
Oh.
So this is immediate.
It's like I've never heard.
Yeah,
yeah. What
yeah,
does I'm, that say? I had nothing to.
It's scary.
I've never. I can't watch anything scary.
Me neither. I don't
is.
Like
I've
horror.
Never seen a movie
My before. Imagination's too.
This looks
crazy.
This and this comes off exactly as it should. Three women just being like, I don't want too scary.
Yeah.
And a guy,
wow,
I'm like, give me more. Give me all of it.
Yeah.
That's
life is scary enough. Yeah. When
it truly
being
is.
Being a woman is a horror movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it truly is.
Well, I have nowhere to go. That's, you guys put me in a corner with that one,
that's
and I agree.
It's kind of a mic drop moment.
Okay, let it be clear. He agrees. Folks, we have an ally
yes.
on our hands.
Which I
okay.
just was renamed by future guest Anya Volz. We came up with a name for me. It's and not, I'm no longer Eli Olsberg. I am now Ally Olsberg.
Oh, yes. My God.
Clock that
And that's
in.
How you know, actually, he's not an ally.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And
be
so,
careful.
And
no,
canceled.
Please don't be careful. I'm an ally.
no, seriously. Yes.
I feel like that's whenever there's a joke about like if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm an ally, but then we're like laughing about it, I'm like, no, but really
yeah,
I'm
but
an ally.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's like an endless circle.
No, you came immediately talking about astrology and I was like, he's an ally.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's proof positive right there.
Yes.
So this is exciting because we finished the first album. We started this as a sweetener podcast.
Okay.
That's why it was called Pod as a Woman.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was the namesake. But now we are talking about, because she, in the middle of recording that pod, she was like, here's a new album. It's called Thank You
and
Next.
You can't help but yeah. wonder, was that a gift to you guys? A lot of people are saying it was Pete Davidson. Mac Miller. No, I think it could have been this podcast.
Yes,
absolutely.
Definitely. 100% yeah. This podcast is the reason that,
yeah, that
Ariana Grande launched
a
second album.
A new album.
Yes. Which changed
in 20-
the future.
It did, but it wasn't healing just for her. It healed us.
Yes,
to say, and we weren't even that. We weren't even wounded.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? There wasn't even a wound.
We didn't know we were wounded. How wounded we were until we heard it.
Well, until she started dropping tracks from this album, which I would argue is her best work to date. Some people feel otherwise.
It's a masterpiece.
Wanted to get your guys' opinion on the album.
Oh, sure.
Well, first we want to know what your background with Ariana Grande is. Like, are you guys coming into this as fans? And if so, when did your fandom start?
Now, so I'm a fan, but I'm not like a super fan. And I think she came really into light. Unfortunately, you know, Pete Davidson to me, that was that's when I really kind of started getting on the bandwagon if I love Ariana Grande. But before then, I was just kind of a loose fan in the background.
I gotta say, same exact story.
Is that right? Yeah. Is that right? And you see, look at that.
There it is.
Yeah, I'm a big, traditionally a big country fan.
Oh, okay.
So you know.
Oh, what do you think about Old Town Road?
I was just gonna ask the same thing.
Old Town Road. I love it. I think what a great. I would have, you know, I loved it at first. He didn't need the
Billy Ray Cyrus,
but I'm so glad that he got Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Billboard tweeted like,
oh yeah, we're investigating whether we're going to bring this back in.
Just saw them. All I saw was them post something like, check out this new hit. Like, and he quote tweeted it being like, LOL or something.
Yeah. Well, because they put this post where they're like, we will be having a meeting or investigating further whether this will be back in the country charts. And I was just like, there's nothing about, is this really what PR has come to?
And it's also just so stupid. It's like, guys, this is like, why would you ever say no to
right.
like,
right.
And
racism.
Also, Taylor Swift. Yeah. Yeah, racism, racism. Yes. Exactly. Because Taylor Swift, it's like that could have been argued for a while. Like, is this too pop?
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Like, yeah, and they never batted an eye at that.
Casey Musgraves in a way. Yeah. Like
by, by the way, are you a big Casey fan? I am.
I am. I'm a big Casey. I'm a big, big Casey fan, big Taylor fan, big. Yeah, that's the thing. I probably was more of a Taylor fan, so the Ariana Grande wasn't as much in my.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it kind of all the time it worked out really well for Ariana this year because Taylor took a step back to work on new music and sort of like I feel like she thought like maybe everything was oversaturated. It kind of true. Like I think it was like people were a little bit at a breaking point. So she took a break and that opened up for Ariana to eclipse sort of where she was before because she was a pretty big star before. But after her and Pete got together and she dropped Sweetener, I feel like she really skyrocketed.
You're right. And Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then it didn't feel like competition.
Well, I'll say in regards to the saturation too, I think Taylor and Ariana are very, they hit their social media in a way that like it inundates you if you follow them. Whereas like, whereas like whenever Beyonce, she's been evergreen because I think her social media is very controlled.
Yes.
It's an event when she posts.
It is. Yeah. And when she, and then when the work comes out, she just lets it speak for itself. If you really think about it, they've never talked about this supposed affair that part of Lemonade was about.
Right.
They never really truly like got into it.
That's why we had to pay for Tidal.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And boy, did we pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, fucking
Tidal.
Still fucking paying for it.
I actually, I subscribed to it like years ago when they had that trial. When the first when Kanye first did that thing where it's like it's only going to be on there. Back when it was Life of Pablo, and he was only crazy and not full blown gone off the rails. And I canceled it, and I was still getting billed for 2 months, and they refused to refund me. I emailed them, and they're like, "We don't see anything about a cancellation." I emailed my bank, and they're like, "We canceled that payment." So banks are still evil, but they were okay for like 5 minutes. Yeah, they gave me my $40 back.
Okay.
And then they were like, and then Tidal was like, "We've canceled anything going forward." And I was like, "Nice try, Silicon Valley. Not this time.
Not this time. Mm-mm. No, not this time."
So that's just the story about the little guy beating big corporate.
I have to ask though, did you get off then before Lemonade came out? So then did it kind of, then you were like, now I can't go back.
I did. And I was furious. I was like, man, fuck it. This is the cost of making a point.
You
know what I mean? Victory doesn't come with some, with some loss. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That was truly a like won the war but lost the battle kind of thing.
Yes.
I bought the Lemonade video, like the whole video album on iTunes.
That's what I ended up doing. Yeah. And I had no qualms about it. I felt real good about it. Yeah. So
were Taylor and Ariana like, was it always kind of a back and forth with the two of them?
No, they're not really.
They're on the same label, right?
Are they?
There's only three. That's a good question, but I could see that being the case because there's only three big labels left.
I think
essentially,
they're on the same label.
They're not like pitted against each other, and not that they should be. And also, like I always like when I bring up Taylor, I don't mean that there can only be one female diva.
Sure, no.
I bring it up more just to be like, who else is making music in their space that's like that on that level of female pop star? But of course, you know, because sometimes the industry does pit women against each other. There's plenty of room for all of them.
Oh, sure.
It's just interesting because Taylor was like the most iconic sort of like. Our generation pop star, and then she sort of took a step back, and then Ariana now is so big, so it really does feel like that timing worked out really well. And I don't think the media pits them against each other, which I think is good.
I guess doing the math here, Taylor's last album came out at the end of 2017, and Ari's album Dangerous Woman was mid 2016. 1989 was late 2014, and also was Ari's album was late 2014.
So they've kind of been.
So they've been. They the last few years have been spread out, but there was a period. But I'll say this: that was during the period when Ariana's star was starting to, when she was really starting to ascend, and she didn't hit the full
stride.
And Taylor had just put out 1989, and that was like her official announcement, where she's like, "Country's dead to me."
Yeah.
Like, because Red was like, she's like, "Well, I'm going to start doing more pop." And then 1989 was like, "Yeah, this is an 80s influenced thing," as indicated by the name and the year of the album.
Yeah.
You know?
But we don't see them interacting much. Like,
no,
Ariana interacts with like Miley online. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are there other pop stars that she sort of interacts with? Like of that caliber?
No, I think it's Miley Cyrus. Who else? Is, I mean, you
she
know what?
She hangs out with a lot of hip hop artists.
She does,
and that's who she like interacts
and
with.
And that's
more.
Why I think they have different audiences too. Like when I think of even their social media presence, I'm like the types of people who are following and like really stanning Taylor Swift are probably different than the types of people.
But
who
I don't know. I don't know if that's true because I feel like they're all pop. Like even when she was dating Big Sean, is like top 40, you know, like,
yeah,
even though they're like bravado that they're putting out, it feels like it's for a different audience. Yeah. I think it's still the same audience.
I was just thinking the only pop stars I can think of at the time when, because they're all kind of on hiatus, but from that wheelhouse was Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato. And I know Demi Lovato and Ariana are friends. They always tweeted each other like, let's collab soon. And then Demi obviously has had a lot of issues with sobriety. And then Selena Gomez, I think she had lupus.
They both kind of went away. Health issues.
In different ways, yeah. And so, like, I
think, does Selena have an eating disorder too?
She's not open. If she does, she's not open about
it. I thought she was open about it. Maybe
about what, sobriety? What?
Oh.
No, so,
Demi Lovato had an eating disorder.
But no, Selena Gomez did.
Selena had body image issues. I don't know if she had an eating disorder openly, but she definitely has talked about how, like, she, because I remember her posting a photo where people called her fat, and then she wrote about how, like, later that was a time in her life where she's like, I'm more comfortable with who I am, and like, sorry if you
I'm just gonna say, Selena Gomez is looking fantastic. I look at when people say this, I'm like, who said fat? This is she's like truly hit like
peak. No, she's beautiful. The internet sucks.
Trolls are never coming from a place.
That's true. Yeah.
And also, fat can be beautiful too. It's all like, you know what I mean. Yeah. It's just like, it's just the internet is toxic.
Sure. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And they know that'll get in their head. Like, they
of course
they say the stuff that they think is going to hurt them. I think because they want attention.
Yeah.
They just like want.
Yeah. They want a response.
They want a response, and they'd rather say something hurtful and like hurt this person they're obsessed with, I think, just to know. Yeah. That they, like,
I love how Ariana's been responding to that, where she's like, well, I hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
She is literally.
Even when with the even the tattoo thing, when she was just like, you know, like that could have, that I think that would have destroyed
that would
me.
Destroy
I
me.
Think
she I would like, have. I'll fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's a single thing. I think about that all the time where I'm like, man, all these things that people have to answer to, I can't fucking handle it. No. I would implode.
But maybe because she's been through so much trauma, like she's more able to handle the little things. Cause it's like, I've been through so much. Like, you can't get to, like, I've survived everything. So like, go ahead. Try me.
Yeah. And I think a lot of, well, and also most, I think celebrities at that level are in some form of therapy.
Yeah.
And so they figured that out early on. Cause if they're not, they like, I don't, I think the one I think about the most, I'm like, man, Lindsay Lohan really got a raw deal there.
She really did.
Yeah.
And like looking
and
at
Amanda
her now.
Bynes.
Oh yeah. Totally. I was reading that interview with her now. I was like, this is really sad. She like really, there's no, like, it's nice to see she's doing better now, but it really, like, I was like, man, shame on everyone during that period. It was, like, so...
And I wonder if we'll think that about Kanye in, like, 10 years. I wonder if people will be, like, you know, because he's probably having, you know...
He's mentally ill, and, like, people are treating it like it's, like, a joke, you know?
Yeah, and I think with... And in his case, it's really... I don't even know how to articulate it because it's this thing where, like, you can't, when someone's that successful and wealthy, there's no way the only way they can come down is if they lost every resource humanly possible. Yeah. And because when he did that thing where he's like, I lost $53 million, I'm like, yeah, but what, clearly that was like loaned money. You can literally default it. Like, there's things that nothing about it seems like allows for empathy or sympathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his mannerisms too.
You have too much power. It's like,
Exactly.
People are poor.
Right. Exactly.
Poor people don't give a fuck about your little problems.
Right. So like when certain people, when there's like a misstep in, I don't know, like with Ariana or Taylor Swift, they seem to be, it seems to be a little more relative to just what they're excluding rather than including. And then they're like, all right, we're going to try and be more inclusive. With Kanye West, it's like him just being like, well, I don't know who's more free, me or a homeless person. That's like a real sentence he said. And I'm like, listen to yourself, man. Like, did anybody play this tape back? And even when you do try to counter with someone like that, it's no win because he's like, well, you're not listening to what I'm actually saying.
Yeah.
Read between the lines. And we're like, what does that mean?
Yeah. And yes, speaking of like inclusion, exclusion, I do feel like Taylor definitely got hit or lost respect in the election cycle.
Oh, you know,
I think
that
if we think of like when her star came down a little bit and when Ariana's came up, maybe it was that she...
Did Ariana endorse a candidate?
She's 100%. And she's come out and talked, she's always talked about her side of things to the point where sometimes I'm sure at some point it'll come back to bite her, but I don't think she censors herself so much.
Okay. Did you guys see the video from Monopoly? I know you did, but did you guys, are you familiar with Monopoly?
No.
She cut a song with one of her songwriters who's also a performer named Victoria Monet. They put out a song together called Monopoly last week. A lot of the video that I wasn't crazy about, it's a little too millennial for my taste.
It's they, like, straight up copying Instagram video that went viral.
Yeah, where they're like, yeah, where they like knock out emojis and words.
Did you see
and,
that? Yeah, over New Year's, there was like a one that it was really cute. I feel like I should credit the guy. I'll look it up while you guys are talking, but just so we're not, for anyone who doesn't know it, but it's a guy who's like dancing around and just like he's hitting his arms out and their like little words pop up.
Oh, that's right. I remember
and they just
that.
Straight up took it. And then it's like, yeah, I guess you are inspired by things for music videos, but I do kind of feel like, I doubt they will ask him. I think they're probably like, we want to do something like this. It's like, well, this is the thing a guy did.
No, because a lot of people are doing it now too. Yeah. And so I think with what the reason I brought it up was because one of the things she's doing when she's hitting words, one of them is Trump and she knocks it out.
Yeah.
So she's very, she's not shy about her politics and the whole thing.
Agreed.
So while Teresa's looking that up, let's talk Imagine.
Yes.
Because this is a song, by the way, I just want to say when we briefly talked about the song when it came out as a promotional single when we first started the podcast, and at the time we were both like, "It's fine. It's a serviceable song." Was kind of the consensus. Though the people we had on, because that was the episode we had Culture Kings on, they didn't.
Oh, Edgar loved it.
Yeah, and Edgar, who was like hated the song we were reviewing. That, yeah, he hates Ariana. He was listening to this song and he was just like, "Oh, yeah, this is good." And we were like, "This is the one."
I like this song, but it wasn't like, it didn't floor me. By the way, the guy's name is Dante Calle.
Yep.
Yep. And so
we want to hear the song.
Well, before we play it, I do want to say one thing, just as like a heads up. What was so fascinating to me when I was putting together the notes for this one is that I thought we were about to review a piece of fluff because it had like a very fluffy. It's a very simple song, and it feels very. It's very like cute. This song's really fucking, it's wild what the song's actually about.
Oh, yeah? Wait, you thought that? Oh, that's interesting because I didn't have that reaction when I heard it.
I saw it as like a sentimental song, but not as anything like too deep. Like cause, so, yeah, we'll get more. But yeah, I thought, I was like shocked at how important this song is. That's what I guess the word I'll
came out right after Mac Miller passed away, and to me it seemed like a song that she was trying to capture her feelings of their relationship and the grief but through a positive life. I don't know that's true. I haven't read all of the details yet, but that's how it felt to me. And it felt like this, like almost like that sort of what if, you know, when you're like, if I can go back to this moment or this moment and change it. That's like what it felt like to me.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because Thank You Next was just a month before that, really right after Mac's death, and that song was such a lightning in a bottle and powerful and made me actually want to forgive my exes.
It's true.
No, it did make you be like, oh, wow, so here's the bigger person. You know, like it was...
It saved me a lot of money in therapy, I think.
Yeah, truly. No, that song has healing properties.
Oh, wait, just Thank You Next. That was all I needed.
Yeah. It's a great even mentality for life too, of like when bad things happen and then to be able to look back and be like, oh yeah, thank you, rejection. Thank you, pain. Thank you. Yeah, like it's a nice way to, thanking your pain or thanking your bad stuff because it got you to where you are.
Right,
it's
exactly. Kind of a nice idea. So looking back, that's why I thought Imagine at the time, I was like, well, I guess nothing was going to follow Thank You Next.
True.
So this was, so it did kind of give it that thing where there is like, if, I don't know if you're like watching a good sequel, but it's not great to something and you're like on its own, you're like, yeah, you know what? That works.
Right, but following the thing.
But this is going to be... Oh boy, we got a lot about this song.
Can't wait.
So let's listen to a little bit of it. I have it queued up. Or do you have it as well?
Okay. Yes, I got it here.
All right. So we're just going to give the credits and all the facts about the song up top. This was written by Ariana Grande, Jamil Robertson, Priscilla Renea, Andrew Wenzel, and Nathan Perez. I hope I pronounced all those correctly. And it was produced by Pop Wenzel and Happy Perez, which is the last two credited songwriters. The song is about Grande's denial of failed relationships. And it's a promotional single that on its own, without any kind of radio play, if it was on the radio, it was very minimal, peaked at number 21 on Billboard. And the song was excluded from the Sweetener World Tour because it was, and this is in quotes by Ariana Grande, too heavy to perform.
Fuck.
Damn.
Yeah, that's where I was like, really? This was the heavy song? Mm, and this and Ghostin were the ones that were excluded.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which if you guys, I don't know if you're familiar with Ghostin, that's the one about her dealing with Mac Miller's death while dating Pete Davidson. Mm-hmm. It is probably my favorite song on the album. It's like so raw and so like, I don't know, it's like this minimalist epic song. Mm. So, so what did you guys think of the song when you first heard it? Like what, just overall thoughts?
I was obsessed with it. Like, I loved Thank You Next, and I didn't think that it could, like, top it. And I was obviously a new Ariana Grande fan, so I just listened to, like, all of her albums at this point. And I loved the song. I listened to it on repeat for, like, a whole weekend. I think it's, like, one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, there's really ethereal quality to it, I think.
Yeah, which is a lot of this album, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's so emotional, and it... And I don't know, but it's also makes you feel like everything's going to be okay. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I'm like a big like nostalgia person, and the song kind of like reeks of nostalgia to me, of just with the thoughts that a lot of us have of just like, oh, imagine if things had gone a little differently and like this, the world could have looked like this. Or just I think it's easy to also remember like the good parts of a relationship, and the song kind of reminds me of, looking back on just the good parts of something and just, wishing you could have another moment of this, like, really happy moment that's in your mind.
I want to add, now that I know it's about the failed relationships, like, I want to do an addendum to what I thought. Because actually, I'm like, well, maybe, because I tend to, in my past, fall into delusional relationships. And I actually, like, hearing
love
that.
Love delusional relationships.
I know, love it. Love to live in a world I created that nobody else is in.
Yes.
Love projecting.
Love that zip code. Where I like to buy real estate.
But what I feel like, now knowing that, I'm like, oh God, this is so heavy, because it's not just a song about wanting to have something different because you don't have time. It's a song about thinking about a relationship, and when you remember it, you're remembering literal moments that never happened. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're, let's say you're dating someone for a year, and it's always like, you're always disappointed, and you're always like talking about like, oh, maybe we'll go to France, maybe we'll do this. And it's a lot of talk. And then when you think of the relationship later, you think of like, oh, this is a person I could have gone to France with. And so you're like stuck in these memories that never happened. That's what it feels like to me, is she's like, we're going to have this nice night. We ordered pad thai. We do this. None of this happened. It's like all her being like, imagine this, but I'll still pretend that this was the relationship.
Oh, interesting.
That is exactly like when I was reading it, I was like, wow, so this is truly like, it's weird. It almost feels like a movie.
Yeah.
Where that's like the twist. It's like it was being imagined all along. And like, I think because also most people, what they want when a relationship ends is they want the bubble back, as most people do. Even when you're in successful relationships, there's still that bubble. And I think a lot of people, of course, once you have a memory of it, you're gonna amplify whatever good feeling was there, and you're gonna want more of that drug. It's truly like,
oh God.
Didn't mean to get so
sad. I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry too. It's because it really, it's like wow.
It's not that it's bad, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that it's not what you ever imagined it was gonna be. Like, you project all these expectations. You project all these expectations on a relationship you have, instead of just looking at what it is, and then you keep hoping it's going to get to that thing you have in your mind. And then when it ends, you still think like, okay, well, that person in my mind still represents all this stuff
I didn't
have.
And maybe it's even like in your thing of like it being like a movie, it's like even like beyond relationships too. Like even now that, you know, we just moved here from New York, I visited New York. I find myself like just glorifying New York too, you know, like just thinking of like, oh, I would do this, and it's like, no, I was like miserable, you know, but like
sure. I do that with, I'm from Fort Lauderdale, and I do that with there. Like I was home last last November. I was there for a week, and it was literally the perfect amount of time. That's usually too long for me. I'm usually there for but I was there for a week, and the trip, like, I found all these places that I never went to before and like had a blast, and I was like, oh man, I miss this so much. And then on the plane, on the flight back, I was like, no, I don't. The fuck am I talking about? Like, this was just a good week. Yeah. That's all it was. But like, yeah, you're right. Like, your brain just is going to always do that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I even think about that, too, in my first few years of comedy, where I was, like, going to open mics. And, mm-hmm. like, there was a night on Friday. I love that song. That's my favorite song.
let's review this ringtone.
So welcome to Pod as a Ringtone. We are gonna talk about classic ringtones.
So first let's give the update. So that was sung by Alexa. Yeah.
This was written by a programmer in in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so where was I? Oh yeah, I was talking about like open mics. I remember on Fridays I used to go to four different open mics, two in Silver Lake, one in Glendale, one in Westwood. I was like, oh, I missed that. I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? I literally am commuting across Los Angeles diagonally, the worst move you could do.
Rush hour.
And And I'm thinking about that and I'm like, I guess I miss the simplicity maybe. You know, because when you're doing open mics at the beginning, all you're doing is mics. You're not thinking about like what's next.
Right. Or even just, I think we're always wanting to be somewhere else. I think it's just an escape from our current law. It's just,
And imagine being someone this successful, having that yearning. Like it's I'm not taking it away from her, but what I mean is it's so interesting because people always have that bullshit thing about like money doesn't buy you happiness, and it does up to a point. They're
right.
But but it is interesting that she still also has this person that she, I'm maybe in her head thought, well, maybe once he gets sober, maybe we'll loop back around and give it another shot. And that is just, you know, sobriety is going well. Or maybe not. Maybe they were just going to be close friends and she's still, you know.
There's also like a bit of like it's like when you're with someone and you, it's less about wanting to be with that person and more about like wanting to have someone that you want to do things with. You know what I mean? Like that person that you can just... It's like when you watch a movie and when you're in a relationship or you have a crush, you can project like, ooh, I'd like to be in a love story with this guy or whatever, or this girl. But when you don't have that, then you just long to have someone, anyone. It's almost like then you aren't seeing the person. You're just seeing like the possibilities of having a person.
It's kind of like
super dark when you think about it that way.
Like, truly. I mean, I'm like thinking about it now. I'm like, man, this is fucking brutal.
She just wants to connect. That's, you know, it's like this search for a soulmate, I feel like. I feel like Ariana really is like a romantic.
Well,
like,
yeah, she's a Cancer.
Yeah, and she really wants to connect deeply, and she really wants to fall hard and really wants to just believe that it's the real thing. And when it's the real thing, you can just like join souls or whatever and just like everything, you know, is together and you can transcend the world. And that's what it feels like she wants when she sings this. But I don't know that she ever really had that yet. And I don't even, like, obviously her and Mac had a strong connection, but it sounded like a lot of stuff was toxic about their relationship. And I think because, you know, he's gone now, it's easier to remember all the good stuff. But I think she's still kind of searching for that, like,
and
connection.
She has a line in there too that says something about like we've been like we're acting the most like regular we've ever acted.
Yeah.
So I think there maybe is also like a longing to, I don't know, for like you were saying, normal simpler times for her. Yeah. Like there's probably some normal, like her life is on such, you know, there's got to be a longing for just like, yeah, like pad thai and like a bath sounds really nice to her, you know?
Yeah. Cause
it's like she doesn't want to go to like, she can do anything, but like the thing she wants most is maybe like just this regular life with
It reminds me, there's an article that has stuck with me for like a decade about when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were together. They one time apparently rented a Mercedes and like a really tinted Mercedes and apparently just drove around LA for 3 hours and they just talked about how happy they were.
Oh,
yeah.
And
they had already been together a while, so it wasn't even like a thing of like being together or being, you know what I mean? It was like, they were like, oh, they just got to drive around LA uninterrupted and just hang out and kind of take the city in.
Yeah.
That I was
stuck
like
in traffic like normal people. Yeah. Just like feel
And they were like they had nowhere to go or nowhere to be, and they were just like driving through different neighborhoods. And I was just like, and I'm sure for both of them, because neither of them came from any kind of, even though Angelina Jolie came from a showbiz family, I know Brad Pitt did not. I think he was pretty broke when he got here. But I bet they both looked, when they were driving, they're like, oh, yeah, this place used to be called whatever. Yeah. And I used to go here to, like, eat cheaply. And, totally. And this was where I used to get ramen from. And I'm sure they had these moments. And I was just like, that's an amazing story to me. That's more fascinating than, like...
Agreed.
Than anything about going to, like, we had a dinner in Bali on the top of a... That's nice, but I think that's just... You could, when you're that wealthy, you could do that anytime. You know what I mean?
Do you think Ariana can be alone? Like, I feel like
that's what she's working on right now. She said,
"Hard time being alone." Because the positive side of this song, because I'm like, oh, it's so sad. I'm like, I'm gonna cry. Blah blah blah. But then the one thing that I learned in therapy is like all those things you want out of someone, like you can be for yourself. Mm. So if you listen to the song, but now imagine that she's talking to herself, it's like so sweet. Because it's like, imagine I just want to be at home and take a bath and order pad thai, but like. Now there's no whole of a person gone. It's just like, I can do that. I can go home and treat myself and I can feel whole. And so I feel like that's, I don't know if she's there yet, but if she can get there, then she can have that sort of fulfillment no matter what. Cause it's, and we all of us have that capability to have that.
Truly sidebar. I have used your tip. So I can't tell you how much it's changed my life.
Which one?
Okay, let's hear. Teresa told us on, I forget, it was ours or yours? I feel like maybe both.
On yours.
On ours. To basically like you can parent yourself basically. Uh-huh. And to like you can physically hug yourself or like pat yourself and tell yourself you're doing an okay job or like everything's gonna be okay or something.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I can't take credit for it. It's called self-parenting, but my therapist told me, and it's like a thing people do. But it's like that feeling of like when you're longing for safety or a connection with someone, and especially like when you're going through anxiety or depression, and she's dealing with grief, like you're just trying to reach out for anything, right? And but then you can meet yourself on the other side.
Which is
really cool once you figure it out. It's weird at first because you're like, sometimes it makes you more sad the first time you do it because you're like, it's just me by myself. Yeah. And then you're like, I'm a loser. But once you get past it,
right.
It's really good.
So I come from a very small family and like, it's my mom and my sister's 10 years older than me. Mm. And we like, I was very used to doing things alone at the time, like growing up. Only because my mom had to do it, like she had to work two jobs and my sister was also work, you know, everyone was doing their thing. And I remember every time I get out of a relationship, the first thing I do is and Teresa knows this about me, movies level me the fuck out. Yeah. Like a bad movie, doesn't matter. I could just, and since subscription services have started, my attendance has gone through the roof because it just, you know, you pay $20 a month and you can go watch any movie anytime. Yeah. And so, and in LA, that's like, especially, you know, it's not like you're just watching whatever Disney put out that week.
Right.
And so, I went to the movies alone a lot, and that is a great starting point for people, I think, because it's a place where eating alone can be a little harder.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you just don't want to look like you're by yourself, but a movie, the lights go down, no one gives a shit. You know totally. What I mean? And you can also, I've argued this time and time again recently, that with movies, you don't have the pressure of having to turn to the person next to you and disagree if one of you liked the movie and the other one didn't. Yeah. I can't tell you how stressful that has become for me. Because we're in LA. This is the land of takes. People have them.
Yep.
When the movie's over, doesn't matter what it is. Even if you're both just steadfast in your opinion and having a good discussion, it's still like something you don't necessarily want to do. So I don't go to the movies alone all the time. But when I do, there is this thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going home and I'm just going to think about the movie on the drive home.
Yeah, it's like your friend. It's like a.
And I think that's a good starting point for people who aren't good at alone. Yeah. If they want, I always recommend to people, I'm like, go to the movies by yourself because it'll get you out of the house. It's the same thing as binge watching something, except it has an end point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like way more fulfilling.
Yeah, and it does. It feels like, I like trying to like take myself out on a date. It's like a nice feeling of like, I did that thing. Yeah.
And it gets you good at like accepting whatever you're enjoying without having to turn to someone else and be like, this is so great.
Yeah.
Or this happened and I had a really good time or something.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it so that when someone does join you, because I'm not saying like don't hang out with people.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
It makes it so that when someone does join you, they're joining you because you're like, oh, this is someone who I want to share this thing that I already enjoy doing with, and not like I can't do it without someone
or I don't
there.
Know what I like, so I need someone to tell me what I like. It's like, no, I like doing this thing, or
I think concerts can be good that way.
Yeah.
Like I've actually gone to concerts by myself. I'm going to Carly Rae by myself. I was not going to miss those pre-sale tickets.
Yes.
Got the front pit. Really excited.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Going into catastrophic debt for it, maybe. Not going to say. I was like, really, I'm like, you know what? I'm just putting it on my credit card and I'll think about it later.
Yes.
But concerts are something fun because you can both turn and sing the song together.
Yes.
But also the thing is, if you do go alone to a concert, I always end up like belting it out with a bunch of people around me
and everyone's
usually pretty fucking welcoming.
Totally.
You know? So it's like, even the ones where you do want to share things, if there's something there where you just can't, all right, you know, just fucking keep partying.
Yeah. And
so one thing we like to do is we go to, are you familiar with genius.com?
No, I am not.
So it's a website where you get lyrics for songs.
Okay.
But they're annotated by users. So if you want to know, yeah, it originally started as, I believe, rapgenius.com, which was specifically because there are references in rap songs where people didn't know who they were insulting or who they were or what the reference was to like a brand deal they had. And so a lot of people would annotate it. Then they just opened it up to the whole world.
I just like the idea of someone who is being insulted looking at
it. I know, right?
Yes, big, about me.
Yeah. We pull from there because it's truly precious, the things that the stands bring in.
Okay, great.
I will say on this one, they did bring in some real interesting shit and had their, like, not only did they annotate, but they annotated their annotations, like where they got it from. So it's pretty impressive.
Okay, great.
Because sometimes they'll be like, when we did one, I think it was like for breathing, one of the annotations when she's like, just keep breathing, they're like, well, breathing is how people live, you know, or it's like some dumb thing like that. Yeah. So, one of the notes here, before we actually get to the lyrics, that I did get from Rap Genius is, imagine the first promotional single from Thank You Next is about an unattainable love that is now and forever unreachable. The track has been described to be the opposite of Thank You Next, which has a central message of self-empowerment. And then what we were just talking about, it's not confirmed, but the inspiration for Imagine likely lies in the death of Mac Miller, Ariana Grande's ex-boyfriend who passed away from a drug overdose. This could suggest the song is about the unattainability of their love now that he's passed. Many of the lines in the track also mirror Mac's 2016 track Cinderella, which was confirmed to be about Ariana. Ariana's at reply to a fan. I think it'll balance the energy between Thank You Next and Seven Rings nicely, as those are super self-assured, commanding, and this one is more vulnerable and unsure. I wanted to mix up the energy a little bit, as both of those themes are equally prevalent on the album and in my life right now.
Yes.
Interestingly, Ariana continues to associate her music to her exes, as the cover art designer for the single was her ex-boyfriend and backup dancer, Ricky Rose.
Oh, I didn't know that.
AKA, I think, Ricky Alvarez. From the song. Yeah, wrote some songs about Ricky. He keeps it pretty simple, black and white, with these characters on it, and it's like Japanese.
Shang,
yeah,
which means imagination, I think.
Oh, it says here, imagination in Japanese and imagine in Chinese.
Oh, yeah, I see. I'm reading it in Chinese.
So, do you want to do the staying up all night line?
Sure. So the lyric is, staying up all night, order me pad thai. And Genius says, pad thai is a popular dish that originates from Thailand. Thank you, Genius. It consists of stir-fried rice noodles. No. In 2014 Mirror interview, Ariana stated that she was adhering to a vegan diet. Ordering in delivery is meant to conjure up images of a low-key couple just staying in together. This line is reminiscent of a lyric that Mac Miller wrote in his song Cinderella, a song which Ariana confirmed was about her in a May 2018 Twitter post. And when you hungry, I can chef you up some stir fry. Mm. That's the lyric.
Wow. So that was the other thing where I was like, this song's more complicated than I thought in terms of like it's not just about the missing things. Like, she really made it a point to mirror a lot of stuff that Mac Miller wrote about her.
Yes.
That's where I'm like, whoo, that is.
And right, she like put in the whispers or
yeah, that there was something. I heard something about that, but I couldn't find anything on it for the notes that particularly on this track, you mean? Or
yeah, did you read that? Am I going crazy? Didn't we read that beforehand, that the beat or something was like similar to a song that he had written for her?
The way.
The Way.
Oh, yes. Well,
yeah, that's coming up. We got that does come up.
Oh,
here,
great.
A
great,
thing
great.
About The Way. So,
look at us.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. They did look their homework.
The stands, ahead of the stands.
Wow. Yeah, did their homework. So the next line after ordering pad thai, she says, then we're going to sleep till noon. And this line is also similar to a lyric from Mac Miller's Cinderella. You in my dreams, that's why I sleep all the time.
Oh.
It sounded like I said why I asleep. I meant to say I sleep. Sorry, everybody. Teresa.
Me with no makeup, you in the bathtub, bubbles and bubbly ooh is the lyric. And Genius says,
wow, you're gonna love this.
Oh no.
Bubbles occur in both bubbly, another name for champagne, and in bubble baths. In a December 2018 interview with Billboard.
This is like made for an alien.
Truly, like, yeah.
It doesn't, yeah.
Bubbles? Say obvious what for 500. Ariana joked in a Billboard interview, I am champagne. You know how people say we're 60% water? I'm 60% pink Veuve. Am I saying right? Veuve Clicquot? Is it Veuve?
Veuve Clicquot? I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I don't.
Is it French?
Haven't gotten into the income bracket to know the wine pronunciation.
Yes, I've seen that word. But
it is, but there's these girls I went to high school with who are very like bougie, and they like to have, like, I only really hang out there now at weddings, but they'll, yeah. Nothing, like, I don't think they'll listen to this. They're cool, but it's funny because when they have champagne, they always call it, they always try to drink Veuve, but they call it, like, they'll say it wrong, which is funny. Like, they'll be like,
Veuve.
Yeah, it's very much, like, it's very much like, I got the Veuve. Like, and you're like,
oh, no.
By the way, I just want to say something comes up a lot in, like, songs that I've heard in the last few years that I never asked anyone about, and I just listened to it, is when people say VVS. That's a diamond, like a really apparently the most expensive diamond. And I remember I heard it in, like, there's a Normani song who's opening for Ari at Staples Center where she says diamond shine in VVS's or keep it VVS's. And I was like, what does that mean? I kept listening to the song because it was so good. And I'm like, what the fuck? I got to look up what this means. And sure enough, it was like, it did say VVS. So I'm like, okay, good. It's not like a lyric that she's just saying too fast. And I had to Google it and it was diamonds. And then there's like another song, I heard it, and I was like, oh, okay, now I know what this means.
Yeah,
I'm in
cool.
on it. Yeah, so
it's like a grading system or something.
It truly,
I think it's a grading system of diamonds.
It is, yeah. It's something along those lines, and it's just enough to know that, like, well, you're talking about diamonds, and it's very expensive.
Now, I'll say something for the public to know. I don't care about diamonds. Don't you feel like if you were the richest, maybe it's just where, don't you feel like if you're the richest person, I want so many things. Diamonds, I'm like, I feel like I will buy, I don't know. Pools.
I feel the same way.
Right?
I'm right there with you.
Waste of money. What are
you? Yeah.
I feel like I'm like that, but I haven't really like met a true like expensive diamond in person. And I feel like, do you know what I mean? Like if I met, true. Like some of them really are stunning. Like, and I feel like if I met like a beautiful piece of art or something that was made out of diamonds, I feel like I could be floored and be like, oh my God, I got to have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah.
But I don't know. I probably don't want it. Like I don't just, it's not something that
also,
I think
isn't
about.
The diamond industry like super
true,
evil?
True.
Oh yeah, it's
true,
totally
true.
Fucked for sure. But
and,
like.
But did we just kind of move past that? What
you're
happened?
Right. What kind of happened?
For a while, everyone was like, diamonds are bad. But then everyone was just like.
No, I think as millennials
were.
Because
then put out a song that was like, shine bright like a diamond. We're like, okay.
Yeah. I do think we as a generation buy less diamonds, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Even though the news keeps telling us we are murderers for killing the diamond industry.
I love conflict, so I love conflict diamonds. What can
listen.
I say?
You know, hey. What's your sign?
Aquarius.
He's an Aquarius. Yes.
Aquarius, sun and moon, Gemini rising.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a Gemini.
Oh,
I don't know what I am rising, and I don't know what
we can
we'll link
we'll
up
talk
later.
Birth charts right. after the episode.
Right.
I feel like you have Leo in your chart, maybe.
Oh, I great
because you're like good in spotlight and like and good on stage. Leos are usually very like warm, friendly.
Oh, I hope I do.
A little like
I'm sensing. Well, you said Gemini, and I would have guessed. I could also maybe see Scorp happening in the chart there. Scorpio.
See, now here's the thing. I only know about Gemini.
Maybe Pisces. Pisces is like tangential to Scorp.
Then I got some Scorpio in me.
You're a Scorpio?
You're a Scorpio, yeah.
You're a Scorpio?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm the only air sign. Oh, no, you're an air sign as well. Right. Okay, cool. Well,
ooh,
two and two.
Imagine
what
we
are balanced. Wow. Yeah, well, because they have flames and we're fanning them.
Yep.
That's what air does. Fire sign, air sign.
We
yeah, we're
need
just.
That. Yeah.
Yes.
Scorpio's water, I thought.
Cancer, Leo fire. You might be right. Actually, yeah, boy, I gotta.
There's waves.
I don't know.
Moons
maybe
on his shirt. This is crazy. You should know. You have moons on your shirt.
I am in deep shit. I'm gonna look that up while you're reading the rest of this.
Oh, yes.
It's gonna drive me nuts if I actually don't.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. Here we go. Click, 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 and post. Whoop, no, just three clicks. Click, 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 and post. Drip, drip, dripped in gold. Genia says, this describes the clicking of a camera and posting of the picture or video on social media. For example, Ariana first confirmed her relationship with Mac Miller in an Instagram post with the caption, baby. There's two A's and three Y's. Throughout the rest of their relationship, they both kept sharing pictures and videos of themselves on Instagram and Snapchat.
R.I.P. Snapchat. I mean, they're still around, but let's be honest,
right.
They died, you know?
Yeah.
We should use the stories now. Ariana shared one final video of her and Mac 1 week after he unfortunately passed away due to an overdose.
Mm. Oh, that video destroyed
me. That was hell. Yeah. That was hell.
Because she was laughing in the video.
I know.
Do you know, it's one thing to post like a video where it's just, it's him doing, but you can hear how happy, you can hear in a laugh what kind of laugh we're
agreed.
Talking about.
Yeah.
That laugh, I literally heard it and I was like, I can't watch that clip again. And I immediately refreshed my feed to get it out of there.
I agree.
It was beautiful, but it was...
And wouldn't you say in a way like that laugh is like this song? It's like it's it evokes the almost yes. the same feeling of this song.
Holy yeah. shit. Don't yeah. do that to me. you're right. That song is this laugh. That is yeah. the perfect description
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
It's like so holding on to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. The happiness, even if it was flawed, even if it was never going to work, or still that laugh.
And that's like, very yeah. representative right sure. now of where we're at when we're all just trying to laugh. I mean yeah. that very, I don't yeah. even mean that to be sentimental. I mean that very literally, like right now it's really hard to laugh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, that fucks me up even more.
Yeah.
I'm just staring. I'm going to stare
oh,
off.
Oh, man. No, let the tears out. Okay.
I got no tears left to cry.
where am I? Oh, okay. So on the other side, drip is slang referring to jewelry. Wow, I cannot say that word. Jewelry or clothes.
Just say VVS.
VVS.
Yes. Okay.
The line was also teased on Grande's Twitter a few hours prior to the release of the song. Drip is jewelry, but I thought it was also like a... Isn't it also like referring to an? I'm probably not here, but I know Cardi has a song called Drip. Is yeah, it referring to an
came
STD
drip
too?
In, drip, drip.
Oh, I like oof. That. There's a double meaning of it because I think it also refers to an STD.
Oh no,
where you,
I did not
your
know that.
Dick please. Drips like literally.
Whoa,
I'm pretty
that
sure.
is.
I think that oh. the Cardi song has a double meaning.
Oh, interesting. I know the song. Yeah, where she's like came through drip drip that song. Yeah,
yeah
with Migos.
I mean,
yeah,
I think it's about jewelry. But I think there's also a double meaning there.
Oof,
but
that
let's
is.
See. Now I want to know what it is.
By the way, Scorpio is a water sign. I'm officially a fraud when it comes to astrology.
Wow. Okay.
That not an
sense.
Ally.
That makes
I am,
sense.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. drip is a slang for gonorrhea.
Oh.
Gee, who? The logic. I would love to know how they jumped that. They're like, careful. You got. I got drip.
But then, because your dick leaks.
So then. Yeah, but. You got to think that the other drip came from a guy with gonorrhea who was like, let's turn this thing around.
Yeah.
came through. That, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I am. That is. I need a shower. But,
yeah.
So the next set is the chorus where she says, imagine a world like that twice. And then says, we go like up till I'm sleep on your chest. Love how my face fits so good in your neck. Why can't you imagine a world like that? Imagine a world that literally the more we keep reading about this, the
it's
more
tough.
Like the knife is twisting on my side.
Yeah. And it just makes you real. Yeah.
And it says, get ready for this one. Ariana's ex-boyfriend, Mac Miller, had the word imagine tattooed on his arm.
Oh, no. No.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
That is... I remember copying that in there, and I was like, this is going to be... But I had already forgotten about it from the time I left my apartment to came
wow.
here to record. That is... And it's. I remember now the picture is... It's on his, like, arm. Like, you see him flexing, and it says imagine on it.
Wow. Yeah, I think what's really tough is, like, I think a lot... It's a very relatable feeling that people have with, like, life or whatever, or exes, but the death adds an extra element that may... Like, this would have been a relatable song if they'd just been broken up,
sure,
you know?
Yeah.
But then to add the death and the overdose, it makes it almost unbearable because it's like, yeah, you can't
there
change. There's no...
That world doesn't...
Yeah, exist.
And then it says here... it also they also bring back Thank You Next, where she calls Malcolm an angel. And then she tweeted the song is about being in denial. For example, in September 2018, she couldn't believe Mac had really passed away. But for example, what a weird choice. So what she said on Twitter was kind of like pretending it never ended, denial. But I look forward to you hearing it and having your own experience with it. You may take away something totally different and specific to your life. Love you.
Mm.
Aww.
I will say that was my take. That's why I say when I say it was fluffy earlier is that I took it as like inspiring, like the best, just remembering nicely about the relationship rather than like this missing component that she's absolutely devastated over.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, well, the rest of the album's pretty heavy on that. But it looks like why wouldn't this be that heavy as well now thinking about it, you know? Oof. She also says... One of the other lyrics, knew you were perfect after the first kiss, took a deep breath like, ooh, feels like forever, baby, I never thought it would be you. Ariana and Mac Miller shared their first kiss in the music video of Ariana's 2013 song, The Way. In a 2013 interview with MTV News, Mac talked about the kiss because they weren't together at this point. Mm. They weren't going to be together for like, I think, another 2 years at least.
Oh.
He said, the kiss made everyone talk. I didn't even know that was going to happen. And then we were shooting and the director was like, this should happen. And I'm like, all right. Imagine also. Oh, actually, it does say all right. So, Imagine also features similar whistle tones as The Way, something that fans quickly pointed out, which is true. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought it could be you can be connected to Mac's 2016 song Cinderella, where he raps about not being Ariana's type. You used to tell me all the time I ain't your type. Now you always want to spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me up. Like, yeah. Holy shit. So
makes sense too with their relationship. It just I feel like we all have relationships where it's like maybe they weren't quite compatible. Like it wasn't really her type. Like
right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but, I thought the same thing. I was like, man, this is one of those things where they were really going with the chemicals rather yes. than like the logic portion yes. of the equation.
Totally.
And it's more frustrating that way because it is like there is every fiber of your being is like, no, this is going to work.
Yeah.
This has to work. Like it makes sense. Like I'm so high on this right now yes. that yeah. the flaws can't actually be real problems.
Totally.
But what does it really mean like when something works or not? Because I hate when people say like, it, like you'll see that with relationships where it's like people will be together for 5 years and then if they break up, someone will be like, I knew it wouldn't work. It's like, well, the fucking we're together for 5 years. It's like, I think it worked.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You know what I mean? Like,
it took me, I always think sure. that I'm like, oh, if it went past, honestly, if anything goes past a month, it's yeah. amazing.
Where people go like, I yeah. called it and you're like, no, you didn't. Like they've had a whole life together yes. until yeah. it ended or whatever.
Well, we place like this weird expectation that every relationship has to last forever or it's yeah, a failure.
It's crazy.
And it's ridiculous because then everyone feels like a failure.
Yes.
Right.
Your relationship with your parents doesn't even last forever. You know, you like move out of the house and it changes and it's like yeah. that part of your life is changed, so it's yes. like relationships with people are the same way. Like you're not gonna yeah. always be the same thing to each other forever. At best you change together and then you find a new purpose yeah. or whatever to fit in each other's lives, and right. that's like when you get married and maybe like you adjust and your parents or whatever your life takes you. But the idea that you would stay the same for the entire relationship and not and be the same to each other is like ridiculous. I think
I have yeah. a theory yeah. that a lot of the things that people look down on that are like deviant behaviors are born out of saving relationships this way when they go well. What I mean is like, so I was listening to an episode of Savage Love and mm-hmm. someone was called and asked about something in regards to like being in an open relationship and dealing with that because they always hear that they never go well and that it always is just putting, you know, a Band-Aid on a bigger thing that actually needs a bandage or whatever. And he said, he's like, well, the problem is you only hear about the ones that don't work out because
yeah.
those are the ones that people weaponize, that they're like, well, we tried it and it didn't work. Of
so
course it didn't
true.
Work. And he's like, well, it works a lot more for other people because they have to be discreet about it.
Yes.
And when I heard that, I was like, oh man, that is how everything that works in anything outside of just a standard relationship. That's even not even relationships, but like kink, any of that stuff is because it usually is to level up a relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes people will take that into their next relationship right out of the gate. But usually I know for a lot of people it's because, you know, that the relationship's waning and then you start seeing, knowing that your significant other is out there or your wife, your husband, whoever it is, your partner is doing these things and it suddenly puts that spark in there again because you remember what it's like to be in that position.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it's like watching when they say like you watch your partner flirt at a party. It's the same thing with like open relationships.
No, I hate
and
that.
Stuff. Yeah.
Because
you're
that.
Scorpio.
I don't want that at all.
That's Scorpio energy. Keep it away.
Yeah. Don't flirt in front of me.
So one thing we do before the pod is over is we ask you guys to rate the song out of 5 high ponytails. What you rate the song?
Well, I cried while talking about it.
I know,
so let's give it 5.
You know what? I didn't want to ask because the light from the corner was like, I was like, her eyes are glistening right now. And then I was like, the tears dropped.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. My eyes are glistening a lot.
I love that you're that emotional about it.
Yes. Because it's really, I think this emotion is a very, I think I like solving problems. And so this emotion is like the hardest one to deal with because there's, whether it's grief or a lost relationship or whatever it is, you can't fix it. Like this this song is like, like I know you said it and I agree. There are ways to fix it by like loving yourself, but just, yeah, that's the thing with nostalgia. It's just there and you just have to deal with it and acknowledge it. But and that's a tough feeling. So it's like,
5 ponytails. I didn't cry this time, but I've cried over the song many times before.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 5 too. Yeah, I'm same. Definitely didn't was feeling the tears, but then didn't cry because I didn't want to subject you guys to that. But yeah, even all the news, I already liked it, but learning more about it today, like, definitely made me.
I was
just
gonna say the same thing. I was a four ponytail guy before this started. We were reading the facts, and then as soon as I read that was his tattoo, this became a five ponytail song. Yeah. It really. I mean, I'm excited to go get back in the car and listen to it again.
Yes,
I'm actually going to do that and probably have a moment.
Very strong start to the Thank You Next album.
Yes.
Yeah, and it initially didn't. That's the thing. When I was like, oh, this is going to be the opening track? That's weird. I initially thought that, and now I'm like, oh, right out the gate, we're fucking really putting it out there. Because she also has, look, there are parts in there, Needy. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Put that on my gravestone. Yeah. That song, literally, read that as my eulogy. NASA, right after that. Put that right under it. I'm going to have the longest eulogy ever. It's Needy, NASA, and Bloodline. I mean, that is the Godfather trilogy for our generation. Yes. I will say it is a perfect trilogy. And then also like songs like Ghostin' and In My Head.
I love In My Head.
I mean, we're going to talk about all this stuff, obviously, on other episodes. But listening to those, I'm like, we got Thank You Next. And I remember everyone felt like the revolution was starting, emotionally speaking. Yes. And then the whole album was that.
I know.
It is like, I don't know.
And that's why she's so great. Because she's tapping into feelings that we all have, even though she's so famous and so like far. It's like she's so relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Where can people find you guys on the social medias?
You can follow me on Instagram at Mae Wilkerson or on Twitter at Shut Up Mae.
And you can follow me on everything at Alyssa Limp.
And your podcast, Crazy?
Crazy in Bed.
In Bed.
On iTunes.
iTunes. Is it on Spotify as well? Or wherever you get your pods.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
And you can listen to Teresa's episode to hear the first, firsthand, hear her great advice.
Oh, that's right. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you guys again.
Thanks for having us.
For having us.